Welcome back, WNST, Tassel Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We're getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. Well, I have a full slate of crab cakes. I'm going to be double crab caking this month and next month because I sort of took a little downtime around my birthday, and I just got away, so I'm getting back. I feel like I'm fresh. I feel like I had a bye week. And then, you know, I watched the Oilers run around in those jerseys and sit and watch the football on the couch all day. I was going to be out in Phoenix. I was at Las Vegas last weekend. I was denied credentials by a longtime friend of mine from the Arizona Cardinals PR department. So I thought maybe there's a chance. But I got onto the couch, and in the aftermath of all of it, you can read my column, Ness, up at Baltimore Positive. And Dennis Colatsos is going to join us now. He'll be here on Thursday, back on the beat from 3 until 5, and getting the Sunday Sports Voice together for the Seattle Seahawks to come to town this week. Dennis, I look at this Ravens team after the Lions game last week, and we spoke about that track meet and how that went and how it wasn't going to be like that every week. I want to see them be a little bit more final in beating a 1-7 team and a backup quarterback than they were on Sunday. It was a choppy effort. I mean, a victory is a victory. We'll take it 6-2 at the turn. But seeing the Bengals get a little better, I want to see consistency. Lamar talked about that last week in his podium on Wednesday. Consistency, that's not what we saw on Sunday, Dan.
No, but I think it was to be expected, Nestor. They've traveled a lot. They've logged over 13,000 miles the last few weeks. You're a world traveler. You know that what time and distance can do to your body, right? Your sleep patterns. In between that, they've had to lift weights and go to meetings and recover and go to the trainer's room and whatnot. So to me, it was a predictable, choppy effort. The game, of course, wasn't as close as the final score indicated based on the late rally by the Cardinals. But to me, it was look, just like Al Davis used to say, just win, baby.
Well, in this gambling era where I'm watching this, and I was 8-6-1 in my picks. I'm way above 500 in the year with our friends at Hollywood Casino, and I'll get to that. But it was a 9.5-point spread. Yeah. And I looked and I thought, I had the Ravens all day. And like now all of a sudden, 8-6-1 doesn't sound nearly as good as 9-5-1, you know, for me on the week. And it is amazing that you could look at it and say, well, I thought they would kind of play down or whatever, but this is a tough trip and they're a bad team. And you go into that empty dome and you hear the couple thousand Raven fans that are there and whatnot, but it was a sleepier effort. And I think defensively they're outstanding. Offensively, we still continue to say they have a ways to go and identity and all of that. I don't know what their identity is. I know what it needs to be. It needs to be run the ball, get the ball to Mark Andrews. These are the things that work for them. And that first down efficiency of getting into a good down and distance and second down avoids third down, right? And Lamar not running and then running and then not running and then running. And then they're 9 points up and he's running draw plays in the fourth quarter. Come on, you got to have a better play than that. When you're up 9 points in the fourth quarter on the road with your $260 million quarterback. I mean, some of this has been very disjointed. And I know everyone wants to give the purple halo to Todd Monken because he's not Greg Roman. I don't know. I'm 8 weeks into this, and it doesn't look like anything. The defense is the better side of the ball, as predicted here back in July and August.
Well, I think in a game like this, Nestor, from a coaching perspective, when to accomplish two things. Of course, job one is to win the game. Job two is to leave the field, the game, with no major injuries when you're playing such a substandard opponent as the Arizona Cardinals. And I think based on those top two criteria, I would say that Sunday was a success for the Ravens. Uneven, yes. Choppy, yes. Lots of questionable calls. Like you said, I couldn't believe that they were running Lamar Jackson with 3 to 4 minutes left in the game between the tackles. I thought that was inadvisable, but I think coming out of there with no major injuries and a victory, that's what you want when you're playing an inferior opponent.
Derrick Henry, I mean, on the other end of this, it either happened or not. You're down. See, now I think for the organization, they're, you know, Eric gets his man, according to the cover of Baltimore Magazine that I just saw. The Roquan Smith thing has rocked the franchise. I mean, what is this franchise if they don't make the Roquan Smith deal last year? What is this defense right now? I mean,
look, And there were pundits, Nestor, that didn't like the trade, didn't like the money, the guaranteed money offered to Roquan Smith, and didn't like the fact he was an off-ball linebacker, right? They made a big deal out of that. So to me, if Eric DaCosta makes a splash play, I like to see him do something along the offensive line or the defensive line, and keep the guy around for 2 or 3 or 4 years versus just getting a short-term rental in the form of a Derrick Henry.
Well, if it's short-term rental that's going to run the ball for you 15 to 18 times a game, and Dennis, if they had Derrick Henry, I mean, honestly, if Derrick Henry's on the field running around, I hope he has that Oiler jersey on, by the way. But if he's on the field Sunday, they're the Super Bowl favorite for me. And we'll talk Mahomes and Buffalo and all, you know, whatever. But if they had that kind of a running back. And it's weird. It's middle of the season, giving up the 55th pick in the draft, and you know whatever it would be for them, out of character to rent a player, you know, rent a player that's going to help you win a Super Bowl. And I've talked at length about this, and I don't know that it's going to be anything you're going to hear over on the fan or with the unsophisticated crowd, but the notion that this salary cap thing's coming for them on Lamar. And that Matt Ibike ain't going to be here next year. Geno Stone's playing his way off the team right now. Patrick Queen's already long gone. Kyle Hamilton's going to come in and want some money soon because he's that kind of player. I mean, he's the kind of player you're not going to sign him. He's going to get to the market, make a lot of money. You know, Luke talked about the left guard position, maybe upgrading. And I'll hear all that. And those are all subtle moves, and they're all good. I think they will do something. And maybe by the time people hear this, we'll have another pass rusher or something like that. That's their nature in trying to improve. It's who Eric is. It's who Steve is. It's the way it's why they got Roquan Smith on the trading deadline last year when the Bears are throwing in the towel. And there's so many teams that stink that have players that could be look good in purple. But to me, nothing would make them better than making the running. Bring Mark Ingram back from 5 years ago and put him in here. Put J.K. Dobbins back together and bring him in here. I'm not against Gus Edwards. I think we see what Hill is. And as much as Harbaugh, these press conferences are a joke. You know, he's talking about how much we love the guy who's on the developmental squad when he doesn't have running backs that are getting the job done. The running game to me worries me, concerns me. It does. And Lamar having to be the running back when they're behind by 6 points in the fourth quarter, that worries me. And Luke and I have gone back and forth. Luke's like, I'm so much more concerned about the passing game, the passing game, the passing game. And I'm like, if you get the running game right, I'm convinced the passing game benefits from that.
Well, it's all complementary. We know that one feeds off of the other. A strong running game sets up play action pass, among other things. But look, is Derrick Henry an upgrade over Gus Edwards? Of course he is. The question is, it's right player, right price. What kind of a price will the Titans be ready to let Derrick Henry walk at? And so, does he make the team better? Absolutely, he does. He's a game changer, just like Lamar Jackson. But I don't expect it to happen. But I would hope some trench help, either offensive line or defensive line, would help this team.
I said Mark Andrews is like you know, the cowbell in the Saturday Night Live. I need more of it. I need more Mark Andrews. And
How about Michael Pierce? What a he the guy's he just had a career game, didn't he?
yeah, and I always like Michael Pierce. He has a great countenance about him. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, Andrews does everything he can do to not smile because he's got all that ball coach ish in him and his agent and his, you know, his college coach and like all that. Yeah, you know, I've always found Michael Pierce to be jovial and I love seeing that kind of guy in front of a Ravens having a big day when he's been around for a while, got picked on about his weight, got through, you know, out of shape, like all that, but motivated to play well and still enjoying the game. You know, I think that was one of the things I've seen a lot of players of that size, of that stature, they make some money. It's hard. It's hard. You know, I mean, it's certain guys like Siragusa love the game. Reminded me of Siragusa, like wrecking plays.
He really jumped off the tape. And also, you have to like the Ravens' chances now. They have three straight home games: Seahawks, Browns, and Bengals. What a great trifecta! And for some home cooking, Ravens, of course, now up 2 games in the division with the Steelers and their Browns losing. Bengals looks like they're getting it back together again, but they're 4-3, so they're still lagging behind the Ravens.
How would 9-2 sound?
Now, 9-2 would sound amazing, and they have a chance. They put themselves in that position to be able to get to 9-2. and look out and to keep getting better and to keep getting some cohesiveness on both sides of the ball, particularly the offense. It's still a work in process with Monken's system and the consistencies of the offense. Not take care of the football, to me, still presents their biggest problem moving forward.
Well, I mean, not taking care of the football and not being in great down and distance if you fail passing on first down. You know, like second and 10's really bad for them. I mean, I like second and two. I like second and three. And I like when they can run the football with that kind of authority. And they got run on a little bit, you know, in the game out in Arizona that early in the game. For me, concerns at this point, they are a Super Bowl contender, Dennis, right? I mean, very much so. I mean, we could sit here and make a case. Chiefs lost. Bills are so-so. You've made the case. They're a real Super Bowl contender. I want to see not perfect football like the Lions, but to your point, can you play a game with less penalties? Can you play a game where there's maybe one turnover and it's not on the lopsided side of the field? Can you make the field goals you attempt? 53-yard field goal in a dome in that environment, we used to think that's a chip shot. That was like a 35-yard field goal for other kickers. And when you don't put points on the board, when third down gets bogged down inside the red zone and you're kicking field goals in general, there have just been some warning signs over the last month about the offense, even though it all came to life last week. I want to see that against the 1-17. Not that, not a steamroll, but just more consistency.
Well, they get a chance to play a bit of a mirror of themselves in the form of the Seahawks. Even Pete Carroll, there's some similarity between Pete Carroll and John Harbaugh. They both love hard-nosed defense. They both love running the ball. Both teams would rather run the ball first than throw the ball. Going to be a tough, strong, physical matchup for the Ravens at home this Sunday. And then, of course, the Browns, they'll want some revenge for what happened down in Cleveland. And the Bengals are the Bengals, of course. They'll also want to extract a pound of flesh from the Ravens in an attempt to catch up with them. But it just sets up a great, great homestand the next 3 weeks to look forward to.
Well, yeah, and winnable games and really strange scheduling with flying out to the West Coast twice, flying out to the West Coast at Christmas week, and they're going to have a short game on the begin of the season. The last three games, they're going to need some padding. It's going to, you know, those are going to be three you look at and say, you know, that's going to be tough to win three in a row at the end of the season. This is the time to put that padding in there. Take the end the division. You end the division these next 3 weeks if they can play well. And I, like you, they're as healthy, knock on wood, as they've ever been at Halloween for me.
Yeah, they really have. And as long as number eight's upright, they certainly have a great chance of winning. Nestor, he has more weapons at his disposal. Good to see Rashard Bateman. I thought he looked pretty good running the ball. I was surprised by his explosion. He was just really explosive. And OBJ is getting a couple of PIs a game. He's good for that, at least, when he's not catching the ball. So it is a work in process in the offensive end of the field for the Ravens. But there are some encouraging signs in there mixed with the warning signs as well.
All right, so look, you've been a little under the weather. You spent the weekend on the couch watching the Terps lose and watching all the red zone machinations. What did you make of the Oilers throwback? You're an old-school Oiler guy. You got an Earl Campbell jersey on the wall. I have a closet full of Oiler stuff around here. And, you know, I'm the guy that's always perving out on eBay looking for weird Houston Oilers stuff that might appeal to me. I'm trying to find, like, an old starter jacket, you know, to wear because it's fun. And then they go out in the field and they wear them on Sunday, and it felt dirty to me, right?
Yeah,
maybe it's because
yeah.
I'm from Baltimore and, you know, you're
I
from
agree.
Baltimore. It felt like the Texans should be wearing those jerseys if somebody's going to wear them, even though the Adams family owns them. Maybe they could make the money off of it. But, like, man, that's Houston's stuff. Like, what are you doing?
I know. Look, I just try to picture myself Lamar Jackson in a Colts jersey or Roquan Smith in a Colts uniform. And I cringed. It just doesn't work. Visually just doesn't work. And this experiment with the old throwback Oilers jerseys and now Dan Pastorini, Earl Campbell, Robert Brazil, those are the guys that we picture in those uniforms, not the current version of the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, it made me itchier than I thought.
I
had
agree.
John McClain on a couple months ago, and John's like, I'm going to wear them, and it's going to be controversial. And,
nah.
And I'm like, no, man, it's the Oilers. Put it on. Slap. And then I saw the Oiler markings all around the end zones and
nah,
stuff.
Not the
and
same.
I'm like, Come on, man. You
It's
know,
not
you've taken
the
just a little.
same.
Nobody in Tennessee should be excited about that logo,
No,
you know?
I would agree with you there. No, I think it's probably the one-time thing, and they should not do it again. They shouldn't repeat it. I thought it was a
Well,
massive flop.
yeah, it's sort of the whole, I mean, it's such a beautiful jersey, though. It really is. I mean, and that Levis kid, they're not going to ditch it. They won in it. They're going to wear it again.
Ah, okay.
I mean, they won in it.
They would have won in the old uniforms as well. I don't think the uniforms had anything to do with their victory, to be frank with you.
Are you quoting the other great Greek George Michael and saying sometimes the clothes do not make the man? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. Sometimes the clothes do
Dennis
not make the man. That's right.
Galatzos is here. He's always, I got the right clothes on. I got my Coons
Yes, you
Ford
do.
logo on. He's over at Security Boulevard. He will help you get into a newer pre-loved car. Can certainly help service your car and do all that stuff. He'll also be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, driving you home. And if you're on the WNST tech service, the minute the Orioles make that big trade with Mountcastle or Mullins or whatever they're going to do, you'll get all that breaking news and all that has gone well as well. So Seahawks this week and Browns and Bengals and watching all these, watching Geno Smith, no, wondering who the Browns are. Seeing the Chiefs lose, seeing the Cowboys look great, seeing the Redskins, or excuse me, Commanders hang around with the Eagles for a period of time. I mean, the league's a little wacky. It really, I mean, there's no great team, that's for sure.
Again, it underscores a statement that is a week-to-week league. What you see one week does not have any bearing, clearly, on the ensuing week. So I think that's what makes it fun, Nestor. You talk about parity. Pete Rozelle's dream has come true. Any given Sunday, anyone could be taken down, right? And that's what we want to see. Competitive matches that come right down to the wire, and most of these games, that's what they come down to, the final minute.
So I a little off sports here because you've done some traveling this year, and you have talked to me about your special island in Greece where your family's from and your heritage is from. What does it mean to you when you get on a plane and go over and see and be in places your grandparents ate food? Because I did this last week, and you know I don't have like a family heritage or history. My Venezuelan family left in the early 80s. I've been over there a couple times. It's certainly not a safe place to go. I had a couple childhood memories there that I know my way around. I went as a young adult 30, 35 years ago. So I would find places that I ate with my dad or did. So I really don't have any mojo to do that. If I go back to South America chasing the Rolling Stones, it'd be to Ecuador or to, you know, Uruguay or something like that. But my father's from Scranton, Pennsylvania, and never talked much about it other than being really poor and being hungry in the stock market crashing in 1929. But my mother was from Abbeville, South Carolina, and all of her life, if you just said Abbeville, she'd start to sniffle and get emotional and want to go home. And in the 70s, when I was a kid, my parents and I, because they never drove, we would take the Trailways bus every summer. I would take the Trailways bus from Baltimore through Richmond, through Charlotte, through Greensboro, through, you know, into Greenville or into Columbia. My aunt, my uncles, who were 100 years old then, came and picked us up and drove us back to this little hometown. And my dad and I were trapped for like 7, 8, 10 days. Sometimes we could get the Orioles game on BAL. I definitely remember that out on the porch in the summer, 77, 78, 79, 80. But I was there every year. If I could find wrestling magazines at that time, did it. I remember telling you about going with my aunt to the wrestling matches in Greenwood. Dennis, I drove there last week. I went to the place that I went to the wrestling matches. I went to my mom's hometown in Abbeville. I saw the Confederate statues. Her grandfather was a Confederate, not a Confederate, the Confederate hero in the hometown. Like statue, all Confederate, the Moore's rifles, 1863, all of that. And I went and went to my mother's homeland for 8 hours. Somehow, some way, she was there. It was weird.
Nice. Hey, you get the vibes when you go back to your roots, don't you? The
What did you
spirits
get when you
talk
go
to
to
you.
Greece? Tell me what you get.
It's the same thing. You just get a you get a it's a weird, but in a good kind of a way vibe. You get nostalgia. You go back. You remember certain
Now,
things. You
you were born
walk.
there as a child, so you have
Yeah, I
like
was born there.
real.
So yeah. So you remember moments in your lifetime when you were there. and you go back and you appreciate and you respect. That's the other part of it too. You have an overwhelming sense of appreciation, respect for your past and your ancestors, your roots, as we like to say.
All you told me when you got back is how much octopus you ate, right?
Oh
Like
my
literally.
God. Octopus and Greek salad every day, fresh Greek salad, Greek village salad, no lettuce, right? Just the cucumbers, tomatoes. Man, oh man, when you go back to your roots, it amplifies who you are as a person, really does. And I highly recommend to all of our listeners, go back to your roots. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, get the sweet potato casserole when you're in Abbeville. You get the mac and cheese. You know what I mean? You got to get those things. So,
Yes, you do.
I had mac and cheese 4 times in the first 15 hours I was there. I'm still a mess. I got to be honest with you. But Dennis, it was just an enlightening thing. And you're one of the people that seeks your ancestry. I have a couple of friends that do the hometown, or I mean, let's be honest, Dennis, a lot of the people you know and I know that we grew up with, this is their hometown, right?
Yeah,
They don't
absolutely.
like, there is no other place to go to other than maybe the old country that 150 years ago, maybe they're of Polish heritage, like my wife, or I'm of Italian heritage as well. I've never been to Italy, but there is something about like that thing when your mother moves from that sort of place, like going down there. It was, I've spent 6 weeks of my life there. You know, I sort of did the math on it as to how many times I've been down there and how much time I spent there, but it is, it's enlightening. That's
Home,
all I'll
it's
say.
homecoming. You're going home. It's homecoming.
Yeah, me and Sammy Hagar and some great banana
Oh,
cream pie as well.
there you
By the
go.
way,
There you go.
Greenville, South Carolina, that's a place. It was a nice
Yes, it is.
place.
You know, Ford Motor Credit's down there, so I've flown down there a couple of times to meet the leadership. So I've been to that town twice in my life.
Well, if next time you go to Greenville, I got a place for banana cream pie for you and fried green
Okay.
tomatoes. Dennis
Okay.
Colatzos is here, eating his way back into full health. We'll get him back on the air Thursday from 3 until 5. We'll also get him out on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, maybe State Fair, maybe the Beaumont. They're trying to get me over to El Guapo as well. I'll be over on the west side of town. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation and Jiffy Lube MultiCare as well. I'm going to be doing double duty, double crab cakes all month. And Dennis is going to be doing double duty this week too. 2 hours on Thursday, back again on Sunday morning to get you ready for the Seattle series. Anything I need to tell you about cars? I mean, we haven't talked Fords, and you were
Yeah,
talking
look,
Ford Motor Credit. I mean, you said Ford Motor Credit, that's 0-0 in some cases right now, right?
0-0, and the good thing is the UAW strike is over for Ford Motor Company. They've signed new contracts. We're good for at least the next 4 or 5 years. So we have vehicles coming, great credit deals here, 0%, 1.9 in most of our models. Huge inventory, over 300 new vehicles in stock right now, and 200 used. So we're loaded for bear heading through into winter.
I got to tell you a story about my mother because you're not on my social media. So I'm in South Carolina. I landed in Greenville. You know where that is, right? I'm driving down south toward Augusta. So Abbeville's an hour south of Greenville, an hour and a half west of Columbia, an hour north of Augusta, which means it's in the middle of nowhere. Like it could not be. It's an hour from Clemson. You know, it's like in the middle of literally nowhere. And my mother was born in this town called Shoals Junction. And it's a town that the sign Shoals Junction, it isn't even fully Shoals Junction. It just says Shoals JCT period. That's like the marker in the city. It's not really, I think the population's 210 or something. It's like literally, it's a zip code. It's not a place. There's a gas station on the corner. That is the junction of Shoals Junction. And I pulled in purposely. My mother was born in that town in July 26, 1919, and I was trying to get my cousins if they knew where they were born or what the house was or whatever. No say. So I pull up to the stop sign. Then need I say there's no traffic. There's no cars behind me. I just pull up to the intersection of Shoals Junction, South Carolina. And I pulled my camera in. I said, I'm gonna take a picture of the Shoals Junction sign. And I held it up and I took one picture, two picture, three picture, and I said, it looks like a beer truck drove into my picture. It was a Corona beer truck, my mom's favorite beer. A Corona beer truck. Two of my pictures, it's not in the frame. It's only in the middle frame. I
Okay.
had to do the freeze frame GIF thing where you rewind it a little bit on
Right.
the motion to find the beer truck. And I thought to myself, this is before I got to Abbeville. Strange things, strange
Yeah, there you go.
whisperings happened last week.
There you go. Hey, it's a message from above. That's what it is.
There is a higher power, even
There
higher than
is.
Roquan Smith at this point.
That's right.
Dennis Colatzos is here. He is the Colatzos Show, as well as at Dennis Colatzos out on the Twitter thing. And of course, you can find him here at AM 1570 on Thursday. And always just jump off Security Boulevard. right outside the Beltway. Stop in. He's usually sitting there in the front desk. And get back on the beat, Dennis. We need you back full health on Thursday, my brother.
You got it, sir. I appreciate you.
Dennis Colossus joining us here. Coons Ford, Baltimore, and, of course, our tech service as well, getting out the injury reports, everything that's going on this week. Nice clean sheet for the Ravens, we should hope for very, very soon as we get ready for the Seattle Seahawks. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, back on the beat celebrating Halloween and the first place Baltimore Ravens. We are BaltimorePositive.com.